Logos. Some people call it logos, doesn't matter. It's a word, and what a word it is, by the way. Logos, the creative order. Two of the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke, start with the account of Jesus' birth. Mark starts with the ministry of Jesus. But what about John's gospel? He starts off a long way before the birth of Jesus. He goes back to the beginning of time itself, when the world was created. He starts off talking about Jesus, just like the other three writers did. But his opening statement is, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, John says, and the Word became human, flesh, and lived with us. And then later on, Jesus was to say, that will live within you. That's the kingdom, that is his word, the Logos. It's not just Jesus, the word, but it lives within us, that word. And that's the beginning of the Christmas story, Jesus being born, God coming into humanity, born as a child. And so Jesus is called the Word, Logos. And that is the principle of divine reason and creative order. That's what the word Logos is. You can look it up anywhere you like, and that's a standard definition of what Logos is from the Greek. And that's why the Greeks were astonished when John said that Jesus was the principle of divine reason and creative order. He said, you mean this person is everything that we've always kind of said started everything and is in everything? As Paul was later to say, in him we live and move and have our being. And they said, that one? Yes, the Logos. And of course the Jews thought, the word, you mean the Torah. Jesus spent all of his ministry trying to explain to people what he really meant about the Logos, that it lives within. And his ministry was to demonstrate and to proclaim that this word that he'd become in the flesh was to live within us. His own disciples said, what are you talking about? He said, look, I have to say it in parables. But he's talking about the kingdom, the Logos. He could have been called the thought. In the beginning was the thought, because God had a thought. Or the act. Could have been in the beginning was the feeling, the pathos, not the Logos. Or the ologismos, the thought, no. These would not have had the same clarity as the word. I mean, certainly there was a thought in the Father's mind, in God's mind. But if we had was in the beginning was a thought, which there was, we'd spend our time in church wondering, I wonder what the thought was. Or I wonder what the feeling is. If only we just could get that feeling. Because that was in the beginning. Yeah, it was. It was love. Or the act. Well, if only we could see things happening, we'd know what God was like. Well, sort of, yeah. Israel saw that, but they didn't get to know who he really was. Moses said, I want to know your ways. So there had to be a word. (Clears throat) It had to be the Word. The principle of divine reason and creative order. Now, reason speaks of purpose and meaning. Creative speaks of creativity, God's supernatural creativity that calls something from nothing. That lives in us. And order, God's order, his kingdom. The Word is the expression and articulation of who God is. Jesus was and still is the Logos, summing up everything that can be said about who God is. That's what Jesus said. Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when Jesus spoke to the disciples and his own disciples and the others listening, he spoke about the word of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. And he said, I speak to you of the word of the kingdom. Now, what's the word of the kingdom? And that word is Logos. He was speaking of something that is a supernatural, divine power and order and purpose and meaning. And the disciples said, but we don't understand. He said, well, it is given to you to know the mystery. It is something hidden. But to them, I have to speak in parables. And he spent his ministry speaking in parables about that word that is to live within us, that he became, that became flesh. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, the Logos of his power. That's the English Standard Version. It's a good version, that. Everything is being upheld in the universe by the Logos. That principle of purpose and meaning and creative activity and order. Everything is ordered by God through Logos. What he says has great power, and everything is upheld by the power of that word, or the word of that power. It's better to get it in that order, by the word of his power, not just the power of his word, that word of his power that lives within us. So if that upholds the entire universe, if that orders it, and what an order it is, how much more does it order and uphold us, in whom it has come to live and to dwell? And not only that, it has come for us to be conscious of it, have faith in it, and believe in it, that it is ordering our lives in the world of the unseen. How great is that word? We just sang, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. That this word, divine word, is in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word, Logos, of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the seed. In fact, that's why he told parables about seed. And that's why they got confused. He kept talking about this word of the kingdom. And he said, it's like a seed. And I say, what do you mean it's like a seed? Isn't it going to heaven? Well, I don't know if the Jews would have asked that, but Christians sort of do. They say, that's the kingdom of heaven, going to heaven. Well, that's one expression of it, the afterlife. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. His ministry was not about, oh, look, I'm going to get you ready to go to heaven. His ministry was, I'm going to get ready for you to live the word in your everyday life. so that heaven is here. My kingdom is within you. Very difficult thing to understand if all you're used to doing is looking at what's happening on the outside. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to talk about what's happening on the inside. So that was his word of the kingdom. Incorruptible seed at a predetermined time in history. Divinity joined humanity. A new species was born. Homo Divinicus, that's a name I've made up. He had come to plant the divine logos seed into humanity for all time. Humanity is now lifted into a new plane of intelligent existence. Now something different working within that is supernatural and creative. Jesus was the incorruptible seed, the Logos, planted in us as he went into the ground and died. He said, unless this seed goes into the ground and dies, it'll abide alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. And I thought, what's he talking about seeds again for? He's talking about himself and talking about us as being the seed, the fruit that had to grow up. And it could only come up if he went down into the ground and died. Everything he wrapped around, every story that he told was wrapped around this truth. The beauty of it, the power of it. And James says in chapter 1, verse 21, receive with meekness or humility the implanted logos that redesigns and shapes your soul. Receive with meekness the implanted word that saves your soul. Saves, the Message Bible says, shapes, redesigns and shapes your soul. That's what's happening inside of us. It takes faith, takes humility, submission. Lord, I'll submit to what's happening here within me. I'll let it start to reshape what I think, what I feel, what I do. This now creates our reality, shaping our thoughts and our emotions, and creates what we do. It's not just words. I mean, these words will have to come forth from us, from the word, the logos. There will be words that we say, but the words don't have to be great swelling words of wisdom. As we go out and meet our friends in the streets or in houses, we don't say, lo, behold, I say to you, the word would speak unto thee this day from the depths of my inner being. No, we don't have to do that. We know what we say? We say, hello, thank you. You're looking well today. It's expressed in love and in kindness and in patience and in understanding. That word just flows out and it brings with it feeling and love and atmosphere and concern and consideration and thought. It's creative. It's not complex. So humanity's now into that heavenly position. Any human can have the principle of divine reason, purpose and meaning, and creative order, that means miracle, order. It's not just, well, if I get this word in me, I'll be able to write better. Or I'll just be a better musician. My art, everything will flow. Well, yeah, that's true, if that gift is within you. But the creative order is the supernatural miracle working power that you release because God is within you and you can speak into things with love and purpose and reason and meaning, and there will be life in those things and they will change situations. And that's where we get to the final word in the sentence of the definition, creative order. That's the arrangement of things. and the rearrangement of things. When we are conscious of the fact that that Logos is living within us and we submit to it and say, oh Lord, just let all of that work, that mighty work, that loving, powerful, creative work, Lord, let it work. It shapes your prayer. Lord, I give this thing to you now, and I believe that you're at work. I pray in the name of Jesus, as we heard today. That's his name. It's not just quoting the name. It is bearing the name so that he's at work. And when we pray, God rearranges the order of things. What? Yeah, that's prayer. Oh, you mean we've got to pray? We live prayer. And God rearranges the order of things. What about free will? He can manage that. You see, free will can stop God from getting his purpose, the principle of divine principle of his reason and purpose and of his creative order. Proverbs, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like a river, he will turn it, I'm quoting King James now, whithersoever he will. You think free will can get in his way? He will use people's silly mistakes and free will and bungles and say, I am rearranging. That's God. That's Logos. We can't comprehend it in our head. Our rational minds can't get to that. But faith can. Prayer can be so powerful. Believe in it and trust that God is at work. And he'll prompt you how to speak from the depth of Logos. He's joined himself to us. He wants us on earth to express him from heaven. So Jesus' word is our blueprint that will live in us and shape us, bring understanding, truth, and wisdom into any and every situation we face. He will inspire acts of virtue and courage, feelings of joy and peace, and most of all, plant love deep within our hearts. So it's no wonder this event is celebrated around the world every year, even by people who don't understand or believe in the universal cosmic truth that it contains. It's for everybody. And everybody gets together and does Christmas. They've tried to stop it. We'll try and stop Christmas in whatever way different cultures will try and stop Christmas. But you know what? It's going to be bigger and better than last year. It's getting bigger and better all the time. You can't stop Christmas. So people say it's a myth. A myth is a story. A story, don't be afraid of myth. Myth is a story. It means a historic, traditional story that is believed in and that explains a world view of people. That story, which is a true story, yes, it's mythology, but it explains a worldview of those who believe in Jesus, the Saviour, the Son of God, who's planted his Logos in us. Do you think God's going to stop that? Do you think God's going to let that be debunked as some old myth? That's his myth. That's his story. He wants it heard. And he's saying, believe it, live it. I'm going to get it out there because it's for everyone. We've had that prayed today. And we all said amen to it. But Lord, let us be that word. Let us be Jesus. And let people be touched. We'll see your creative power at work, and we'll give you the thanks and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.